you, Master, in Jesus' precious name. I welcome you to this first Sunday of 2020. Our year of supernatural shift, call it 3D shift, drastic shift, dramatic shift, and dimensional shift. Go ahead and still give the Lord the praise. Our scriptural passage, one of the passages that was used was Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, our theme for the year. It said, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Verse 8 said, "Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows?" The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Very, very quickly, we are looking at the secrets of supernatural shift. Secrets of supernatural shift. And all that we are looking at is understanding what it entails to experience supernatural shifts in all realms. It was after this year was declared that I realized that it is a leap year. It is 366 days instead of 365 days. It's a leap year. It's a shift year. It's a jump year. I only got to know after it was declared. And the scripture that God gave to us was Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. I also realized that this year, it's Nigeria's 60th anniversary. Our scripture is Isaiah 60. The first word of that scripture said, "Arise." The first word of Nigeria's anthem says, "Arise, O compatriots." I just got to know. Without a doubt, this shift is not only confirmed, but this nation shall rise this year. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. Shout the loudest, amen. Please be seated. Already from the testimonies you heard this morning, drastic, dramatic, dimensional order of testimonies is what we shall be hearing. Yesterday, one of our members sent me a text message. He said, "Pastor," a member in the location around the Maraba Axe is there. He said, "Pastor, my supernatural shift has started. And it is drastic. And it is dramatic." He said, "Last year, before the year ended, he trusted God for a job. God, I need a work, a good work, a good job. Beyond that, he was HIV positive. And he wanted God to heal him. I think the order was, God, heal me, then give me a job. This year, he got a job interview. He was called. And after the interview, I think on the second or so, today is only 50. They said, I think he has passed the interview, but he needs to do The HIV screening. Oh, Lord. I wanted you to give me a healing of the HIV first before we talk about the job. Why am I getting the job first now? I haven't confirmed my healing. I'm not healed yet. They said, you have a job, but go for the screening. And he went for the HIV screening. HIV is flat negative. It is drastic and dramatic. It wasn't from church. He went to check and it was negative. It was from the job. The job, the job, the job. God said, I cannot give you a job and you remain positive. I have given you, and they asked him to resume when? On Saturday, yesterday, four. Is God speaking to somebody here? It shall be drastic. It shall be dramatic. It shall be dimensional. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. It shall be drastic. It shall be dramatic. It shall be dimensional. Again, you believe that, shout the loudest amen. Take your seat. The prophetic words are already answering like fire. The question is, what do we do to make the results more timely and expeditious? Say it the other way. What are the forces that will activate, accelerate, expedite supernatural shifts in level? What forces? Expedite, activate, accelerate. Number one, we looked at it already at the vigil, but I will just mention the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 16, Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi and asked, what do men say that I am? I'll read to verse 19. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter's life shifted upwards as he got the knowledge of Christ that others didn't have. To get closer to God is to shift higher in life. To get closer to God is to shift higher in life. If you know him deeper, he shifts you higher. Enoch knew God. Enoch walked with God until he shifted in dimensions completely. Enoch, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22 and 24, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That was too much of a dimensional shift. Walking with God and knowing God took him out of the earth completely. Beloved, our year of supernatural shift is our year to know God. It's our year to pursue God. It's our year to know him like never before. Because the Bible said the people that do know their God, these are the people that shall be strong and see the drastic, see the dramatic, and do exploit. The first force that will push you where your mates can't find you is called the knowledge of God. Number two is the force of light. The force of light. And that light is the light of the word of God. He said, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine. Light is key to lift. Light brings a shift. In Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine. Light is key to lift. Light will bring a shift in life. Galatians chapter 2 verse 2, Paul the apostle said, I went up by revelation. I went up by revelation. Galatians chapter 2 verse 2, I went up by revelation. No devil can keep you down if you are in possession of revelation. Light is key to lift, is key. Light brings a shift, and light is a key to flight. In verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 60, he said, who are these that fly? Light brings speed. It is a year to see out of scripture what you have never seen in your life. It is a year to pray Psalm 119 verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Open thou my eyes, Lord. Show me what I have not seen before. Because if you see what you haven't seen before out of scripture, you will see what you haven't seen before out of life. Did you hear what I just said? If you see what you haven't seen before out of scripture, you will see what you haven't seen before out of life. Paul the apostle, without any doubt, was the most lighted apostle. And he remained in a class of his own. Paul had revelation that Peter couldn't have. That placed him in a class of his own. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8 and 9, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8 and 9, Paul the apostle speaking said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You see, I was small. I wasn't meant to be anybody. But I saw mysteries that others didn't see. And the mysteries took me to the realm of mastery. It took me to the realm of mastery. Hear this, as what you see and mass, what you see out of the world affects where you stand in the world. What you see out of the word of God affects where you stand in the world of men. What you see out of the word of God determines where you stand in the world of men. It's the force of light that is the next force for a shift. Don't say, oh, they declare this our year of supernatural shift. I haven't seen a shift yet. Go for God to see the shift and go for light. Open my eyes to see what I haven't seen before. While you are listening to the message in church like this, while you open the scriptures in your personal study, while you listen to the tape that was preached before and you are going through it again, light will come. That light will give you a shift. That light will give you a lift. The force number three is called the force of prayer. The first one is the knowledge of God. Number two is the force of light. And number three is the force of prayer. Prayer. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 to 28, we saw the man by the name Jacob, where he wrestled at the place of prayer until his life shifted, his name changed, his capacity shifted. At the place of prayer, his life changed, his capacity shifted. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, we saw the man by the name Jabez, who was miserable until he prayed to God. He called on the God of Israel, "Oh, that you will bless me indeed, enlarge my cause, that your hand might be with me, that you will keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which is he requested. Please understand two or three things. First, prayer is a spiritual transformer. A spiritual transformer or upgrader of life. It upgraded Jacob to Israel. It upgraded Jacob to Israel. It upgraded Jabez from sorrowful to honorable. Prayer is a spiritual transformer. The work of a transformer many times is to upgrade low current to high current and vice versa. It's a spiritual transformer. Prayer. Secondly, it's a spiritual force for change. It's a spiritual force for change. The man who prays, the woman who prays, is changed by his or her prayer. Prayer changes people far more than it changes things. When you pray, things are changed. Situations are changed. But the person who prays is changed by his own prayer. That was what happened to Jesus at the mountain of transfiguration in Luke chapter 9 verse 29. Luke chapter 9 verse 29 to 31. The Bible said as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. As he prayed, something changed. As he prayed, his face changed. As he prayed, his dress changed. His garment changed. Everything changed. As he prayed. Listen to this. The force of prayer is a force of escape from the influence of spiritual gravitational forces. It's a force of escape from the influence of what I call spiritual gravitational forces. Those forces that want to keep you down. The forces from your father's house or from witchcraft realms that want to keep your life down. The force of prayer is the force of escape from the influence of spiritual gravitational forces. That was what caused Daniel to escape. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, we saw how Daniel prayed three times a day according to scripture. And by the force of prayer, Daniel escaped the traps of the wicked. He escaped the plot of darkness. He escaped everything that the enemy had in mind for him. I speak by prophecy to somebody here today. But as we pray this year, as you pray your personal prayer this year, every ancestral family generational force that wants to keep you down in the earth, you shall escape the force. In the name of Jesus. Are you getting set for supernatural shift? You need to know God like never before. You need the light of the word of God like never before. You need to pray like you breathe this year. Pray without ceasing means pray like you breathe. The only thing you do without ceasing is breathing. That is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. Pray like you breathe this year and you will be shifted beyond any limit from the pit of hell. That is the force of prayer. Number four is the force of fasting. Some people are wondering why are we dealing with prayer and then fasting differently, because they are different. Prayer is a force of its own and fasting is a force of its own. You can pray without fasting. And it can be answered still. And then you can add the fast to the prayer. The force of fasting. Beloved, there is a connection between fasting and lifting.
A connection. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 30 and 31. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 30 and 31. He said, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We call fasting waiting upon the Lord. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint.
There is a connection between fasting and lifting.
Paul the Apostle, who is, can easily be qualified and considered as the most lifted of the apostles. Why do I say so? Paul wrote more than half of the whole New Testament. All the other apostles can combine to write the rest, but Paul wrote half of the whole of the New Testament. Paul had encounters and experiences that none of the apostles had. Even though Paul wasn't there when Jesus was ministering on the earth, he wasn't among the original 12 apostles, but Paul literally did more than all of the 12 put together. And fasting was one of his secrets. Nobody talked about his fasting life like Paul the Apostle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 5, Paul speaking, he said, talking about his credentials in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Talking of his fastings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 27, Paul again is talking about his fasting in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often. That is, I fast frequently. I fast frequently. Paul the Apostle was one man you could call a man who lived a fasted life. No wonder Paul lived a life that was in a class of his own. I call Paul the late comer who became the frontliner. Oh yes, Paul was the late comer apostle. He was the late comer apostle. He wasn't there when he wasn't there when they went to the house of Jairus. He wasn't there at the resurrection. He wasn't there for nothing. Jesus had come. Jesus had gone. The church, the apostles were doing their thing. Even Paul was still putting them. He was still persecuting them. And then suddenly Jesus called, encountered him on the road to Damascus. And Paul found his way from the back to the front. To the point where even Peter was finding it difficult to understand the writings of Paul. According to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 and 16. He was finding it hard to understand Paul. What does that mean to you? If you know how to fast, you will know how to be fast. You will know. If you know how to fast, and you know how to fast correctly, you will know how to be fast in life. True fasting, the late comer, became the frontliner. And beloved, fasting opens the door of light. A man who knows how to fast will see things out of scripture that others can't see. He will access revelation that others can't access. In Isaiah chapter 58 verse 6 and 8. Isaiah 58 verse 6 and 8. God speaking said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? And then in verse 8, he said, after you have fasted, then your light shall break forth. Your light shall break forth. So fasting brings the light, and the light brings the shift. Because he said, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Welcome and congratulations. Our 21-day fast starts tomorrow. For the beginning of the year, I'll give you more details about it in the course of it. So the prayer point, the prayer is there and the fasting is there. So you are being positioned to shift from the beginning of the year. And there is no devil that can stop that shift. You believe that, say aloud, amen. So the number one force is the knowledge of God. Number two is the force of light. Number three is the force of prayer. Number four is the force of fasting. Number five is divine encounter. Divine encounter. Divine encounter.
is a supernatural lifter and shifter, if you pardon me the use of the word, lifter and shifter of lives and destinies. Divine encounter. You remember Moses? He was at the burning bush when he encountered God. And that encounter turned him from a wanderer to a national leader. God formed the nation out of Egypt in one day. And I'm reading from Exodus chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 10. I cannot go into the details now because of the time. He was a wanderer roaming about until he encountered God at the flames of the burning bush. And that encounter turned a wanderer into a deliverer. It turned a murderer. It shifted him from being classified as a murderer into a wanderer. It shifted his life. One encounter. It will interest you how Samuel puts that encounter in 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 6. Look at what he said. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses. Somebody say advance. That is, Moses was normal until he had an experience that advanced him. And then, of course, Aaron, through Moses, Aaron was also advanced to bring the people out of the land of Egypt. Somebody say advance. Say after me, say, Father, I need one encounter that will advance my life. Is God speaking to anybody here? It is the Lord who advanced Moses. If your life has remained, there is a difference between O level and A level. O level is ordinary level. A level is advanced level. If you have O level, you go to first year in the university. If you have A level, you start from second year and above. You say God met Moses, did something with him, and shifted his class. And it was called an encounter. I prophesy to somebody seated here, my God and your God is about to advance your life. It's about to advance your life. It's about to advance your life. Shout the loudest. Amen. Take your seat. He advanced Moses by an encounter and turned him to a national leader. The same God advanced a timid, fearful, inferior, complex, tormented boy called Gideon. You remember Gideon? Judges chapter 6 verse 13. Gideon was the man who was threshing wheat by the winepress. And the Lord said, go in this your might. And he said, oh God, if the Lord be with us, why is all this thing befalling us? Where are all the miracles? Did not the Lord bring us out of it? And so on. And he said, and in verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Have I not sent you? And Gideon continued to complain. How can I save Israel? My family is poor in Manasseh. I am the smallest in my father's house. What can I do? That was the level of inferior, complex, low self-esteem, timidity, fear that was upon Gideon until Jehovah encountered him and turned him into a lion. Turned him into a forceful, aggressive deliverer of his nation. All you need is one divine encounter, and that divine encounter will change your life. Somebody say amen. Final example is Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 9 verse 3 all the way to verse 16. You remember the story of Paul the Apostle. He was on the road to Damascus and then suddenly he was interrupted by a light. Paul was the persecutor that was turned into an apostle. by an encounter. Divine encounter equals divine elevator. You know what an elevator is? An escalator, an elevator. What we call lift here. Is a divine elevator of life and destiny. One encounter. Just an encounter. But I have one counsel for you. Please, don't seek encounters. Seek God. It is in the pursuit of God that encounters happen. Moses was not seeking for an encounter. The Bible said he went to the mountain of God, to the backside of the desert. He was in the pursuit of God, then God encountered him. Seek God, look for him, look for God himself. And God will cause you to seek an encounter. Some people say, they see pastor in the dream and things happen. I want to see pastor. Don't talk like that. God is a jealous God. Don't look up to a man to change your life. The Bible said they looked up to him and they were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. Oh Lord, it is you I am looking up to. Change my life. Then he can choose any avenue, including using the voice or the face of your pastor to encounter you in the dream of the night or in the vision. Somebody say amen. That was force number 5, is divine encounter. Number 6 is the force of sacrifice. Is the force of sacrifice. Sacrifice is a major force for supernatural shift. Sacrifice. It was one sacrifice that shifted the life of Solomon forever. One sacrifice. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, and then verse 11 to 12. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. In that night did God appear unto Solomon, one sacrifice, 1,000 burnt offerings, and said unto him, ask what I shall give you. Solomon may have been doing other things and nothing happened until he offered a massive sacrifice. 1,000 burnt offerings. If it was 1,000 cows, and one cow is 200,000 during Christmas, I don't know the price now, and you multiply that by 1,000, that's 200 million. He dropped it on the spot and said, Lord, I want to worship you. And God appeared on the spot. You look at verse 11, and he said, what do you want? I give you an open check. And Solomon said, I need direction. I'm not even looking for something for myself. I need a heart of understanding to be able to oversee your people. And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor, or even asking for your enemies to die, neither yet have you asked for long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people well, over whom I have made thee king. He said, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you. I will give you riches, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee. Neither shall there any after you be like you. One sacrifice. And because he asked for the right thing, we read that Solomon built a whole city for his chariot riders, called them drivers. About 12,000 of them thereabout. The horses of Solomon, where they keep the horses, the hinges on the door had gold. We are looking for gold to put on neck and all that. Now his horses had gold. That was the level of influence Solomon shifted into by virtue of sacrifice. Second example, 2 Kings chapter. Right, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12 to 1 Kings 17, 12 to 16. You know the story of the widow of Zarephath,
One sacrifice shifted her. She said, as the Lord God live, I don't have anything to eat but a handful of meal. I'm going to eat it and die. And Elijah said, fear not, go and do as you have said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after that, you can make for you and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the Lord has sent rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice changed the widow of, what do you call her? The Shunammite woman. Turned her from barrenness to fruitfulness. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 8, you know the story of the Shunammite woman. When Elisha passed by her house, and she kept on giving food to the prophet, and then she told the husband one day, let's build this prophet a house. And that was done. And as Elisha lay there, said, call this woman. What can be done for her? And the woman said, I don't have any problem. And Gehazi said, maybe she doesn't want to tell the truth anymore. Maybe she has presented a prayer request until there was no need to call it a prayer request anymore. That was why the woman said, I don't have any problem. She is old. She has no child. And on top of that, the husband is old. That is, their reproductive system is almost non-functional. And Elisha said, call this woman. About this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, you man of God, don't lie to your handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life, by the power of sacrifice. Listen to this. Sacrifice shifts lives from miserable pasts to desirable futures. Say it again. Sacrifices have the capacity to shift a life from their miserable pasts to their desirable futures. The past that is miserable, that you don't want, like the Shunammite woman, like widow of Zarephath, it shifts you to your desirable future. Also, sacrifices dissolve adversities into opportunities and possibilities. It dissolves adversities into opportunities and possibilities. That was what was happening to the widow of Zarephath. She was in the midst of adversity and poverty, about to eat the last food and die. And then opportunity came because of sacrifice. And don't forget this that I am about to say. Sacrifice has the capacity to rewrite the history of a man. A sacrifice can rewrite your life's history if it is done according to command. If it is done according to command, and it is sacrifice indeed. It rewrote the history of Noah. When the earth was overflooded with water, Noah offered burnt offering. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to verse 22, and God smelt a sweet savour, and God rewrote the whole history. He said, I take the curse from off the earth. I take the curse from off the earth. And you are going to begin a new generation. In Genesis chapter 9, from verse 1 all the way to verse 3, Noah's history began afresh by the power of sacrifice. Beloved, from last year, December, the Lord placed in my heart that January this year, and possibly Januaries ahead of the whole year, will take a sacrifice for the year. This year that I'm stepping into now, Lord, I want to drop this sacrifice on this altar to trust you for the things that are meant for me
this year. And we shall be doing that at the end of the fast. But hear this. Whenever sacrifice is mentioned, people do what they want and call it sacrifice. Money that cannot buy coke, they drop it. Say sacrifice. Sacrifice is what inconveniences you. It pains you. The Bible says, though that sow in tears. Sacrifice resources is resources that should have done something major for you. That you decided to give up. When we're building this construction, I flattened money we have been saving in two accounts for it. I don't know how long. My wife said that almost forever. You know, you just wanted to be sure that you have some resources here and some resources here that so that you are just, you know, there is some level of stability you feel when you have some resources in reserves or savings. You just feel comfortable. And then the Lord pointed at those two accounts to flatten them completely. To do something major, a major item of this construction. That is me and my wife should take that object, a major object of this construction. I won't mention in many zeros. Not in our currency. So when I wrote the check and instructed, one of the accounts, the bank people came and said, please leave the money yet, please. He said, let it remain till the end of the month. I think they wanted it to enter their account balance for that month before drawing it. Please. He said, okay, we have been with you for a while. We'll leave it. That account was flattened to a point where you can't withdraw 1,000 out of it. You can't even withdraw 500 naira out of it. Both of them. just flat. It was cleaned out. Am I communicating? And God saw it. And God said, I will show you. We have not recovered. We are still on. One day I gave a sacrifice to the church here. And I've given many sacrifices. And my wife told me, said, the money in the account is not up to the enough to clear that sacrifice. Many zeros. I told the account officer, hold the check first. Check first. Give me a short time. Before you present the check. It wasn't less than 3 days. Once you clear it arrived and balanced it up. And they presented it. And the account felt it. Listen. The history of your life is rewritable. When you move by the leading of God. When you agree to hear God. And you do according to what God is telling you. And I'm not preaching to you because there are people who say give and they don't give. It's not what we're talking about here. No. It can rewrite your life's history and change your story. So it is the force of sacrifice that is force number 6. Number 7 is the force of service. The force of service. It gives you supernatural shift. And I will be rounding off in a short while. The force of service. In Psalm 89 verse 19 and 20, see what God is saying. Psalm 89 verse 19, he said, then thou speakest in a vision and sayest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Who is that? I found David, my servant. Service is a status changer. I have exalted one chosen. I have found David, my servant. Service is a status changer. It's a shifter, a lifter of men. Psalm 35 verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of those who serve him. Saul was in the service of his father. You remember Saul, king of Israel? in the service of his earthly father when he collided with the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 10 from verse 1 and 2 majorly. And that changed his life. He was the wanderer who became the king of Israel by serving and looking for his father's donkey. If somebody's life can change by looking for his father's donkey, earthly father, how much more will your life change by taking care of the business of your heavenly father? In Luke chapter 1 verse 5, you read all the way to verse 17, you will see how the life of Zechariah, barrenness between Zechariah and Elizabeth disappeared. At the altar of service, barrenness died. He said, while he was serving, the angel appeared to him and said, your prayers have been heard, and you and your wife will have a child. While Zechariah was carrying out his assignment, adversity, the place of service, is the place of termination of captivity. Termination of adversity. Exodus chapter 23 verse 25. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God. You shall serve the Lord your God. And he shall bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of your days I will fulfill. Service. Service changed my life. When I gave my life to Christ, I rededicated my life to Christ. 34 years ago, I rededicated my life to Christ. I went to the campus fellowship. And for the first time, I hadn't been to that fellowship before. I went to the fellowship there and cleaned out the chairs and stood outside and began to welcome people to church who were coming to the campus fellowship. And I'm sure some people will be wondering, which usher is this? From which branch? And I was from no branch. Nobody told me to clean the chairs. Nobody told me to welcome the people. I knew that was the right thing to do. I had never been an usher in my life before that time. And then I was now in the choir. I was now going to the prayer band, people to pray. I was now evangelizing on the street. Just wanting to divide yourself for God. And God said, I had never had the mind of being where I am now or being a pastor. And God said, if you want to serve me like that, I will lift you up. Anybody who is too big to serve God is too small to be lifted by God. Please, I'm looking for the day when billionaires in dollars will stand like this young man as ushers, welcoming people in all humility. The other day I saw a man, very mature, elderly man, standing right there as an usher. I felt very, very comfortable. God is looking for people with your chief medical director, CMD. You are CEO. You are group managing director. Yet you are with the cleaners on Saturday cleaning his sanctuary. And he said, these are my candidates. I won't say so much about service today because it's not the only thing we are dealing with. You are a grandmother. You used to sing when you were a school young lady. And now you are too big to sing for God. That place belongs to you. Yes. It may be great grandmother even. It belongs to you. Don't ever sit in church and do nothing. It's not a blessing. Don't ever be in the assembly and you are not involved in any way. It is not a blessing. You must find out when Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, the first thing he said, what will you have me do, Lord? What do you want me to do? Service is a major language of love. If you love your maker, you love your creator, you want to do something. Friends, brothers, sisters, men and brethren, it's your year of supernatural lift and shift. But first, there must be the knowledge of God. And then, the force of light opened my eyes to see what I haven't seen before. Then the force of prayer. You will pray like you breathe this year. And then, the force of fasting. And then, divine encounter that comes by pursuing God. And then, the force of sacrifice. And then, the force of service. You don't sit down, do nothing. And finally, the force of excellence. Excellence. Doing it better than the best. Excellence is where people say you have done very well and you decided that you have not started at all. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 17 to 21, by being excellent, David found himself in the palace. Sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 17 to 21. He found himself in the palace of King Saul by being the most talented instrumentalist in Israel. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, Daniel was promoted above everybody around him because the Bible said, according to the scripture in verse 3, there was found in this Daniel the spirit of excellence. Note this as I round off. Excellence will bring both eminence and prominence. If you are excellent, you will be eminent. You will be prominent. Secondly, when you travel the road of excellence, you must reach the place of influence. The place of influence. The place of eminence. And even the place of affluence. When you travel the road of excellence, you must reach the place of influence. You must reach the place of influence, eminence, and affluence. If you doubt, you can ask Daniel. Finally, when you give your best to life, God helps you to get the most out of life. Under God, when you give your best to life, God helps you to get the most out of life. He helped David like that. He helped Joseph like that. He helped Daniel like that. And I am too convinced he's going to help you. Never do anything shabbily. Whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing excellently. Instrumentalists, musicians, choir, usher, chief executive officer, fine artist. Anything not doing excellently is worth living completely. You know, many times people bring pictures of me that they have painted. And I'm sure you have had such experience. And one brought the picture to me and put my picture by the side to say something like, compare whether you can notice any difference. And literally there was no difference. He was a master of the art. And he was just a secondary school holder who was almost born an artist. You won't tell if a cameraman snapped. Another one brings a picture. And what is going through my mind is, in what way did I offend you? Even if I offended you before, it's better to say it to me verbally than to write it as a picture. An exaggerated nose, discounted head.
And there you see
the work of excellence and the work of mediocrity. See somebody writing a letter and is going to submit a proposal. There are 15 mistakes in the letter. From the heading of the letter, mistake started. Error started. They will read the letter and throw it away. Am I communicating at all? Just place a demand on your life. A demand on, you see, when you give God excellence, you make it easy for him to give you prominence. Because God is a just God. He won't promote you on top. He won't promote you on top of more excellent people. I mean, you are a mediocre. You don't know what you are doing. And you are begging God to put you on top of those who know 1,000 times better than you are. And that is the challenge of our country. Where mediocres are on top of intelligent, super intelligent people because of whichever part of the country they came from. Where you go to a place like Singapore, you have meritocracy ruling. Where merit is in charge. Where it doesn't matter where you came from. If you know your game, you are put in charge of the play. As against where we live, where you have mediocritocracy. Where you have mediocritis ruling and in charge. Person is on top, but the person under him is the one doing the job because the one on top doesn't know the job. But God will change things. Suddenly and shortly. Say a loud amen. Think well. Dress well. Look well. Talk well. Prepare well. Behave well. Function well. When they ask you to give a presentation, over-deliver. I was going to Israel to minister some time ago, and I was inside an aircraft. A professor was sitting beside me, and throughout the 6 hours or how many hours flight we're going, I was writing. The man looked at me and said, "Are you preparing a thesis or something?" He said, "Is there a project or a research or something you are doing?" I said, "Oh yeah, I'm researching some things because I have something to present." I was going to speak for only 30 minutes and I had over 8 hours. That is beyond the preparation that was inside the aircraft. And then at such a point, every statement is a bomb. Are you following what I'm saying here today? Well, you see some people just move shabbily and just shabbily. And you say it's my year of supernatural shift. No, it may be year of supernatural sink. But that will never be your portion. It will never be your portion. I see the spirit of excellence coming upon somebody. Who is that person? You will stand up with a shout of praise. You will stand up with a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. Say to somebody, say, "My life is shifting." Say, "My life is shifting this year. Whether the devil likes it or not, my life is shifting." Now help me prophesy to the person. Say, "Your life is shifting this year. Whether the devil likes it or not, your life is shifting." Please remain standing because we are praying now. I plead with all of us in the name of the Lord. Do everything you can for this year to count. How many of you are so enthusiastic about this year? More than other years before. There is a general enthusiasm, a general positivism. And there is something in the air that shows that God is up to something this year. And he has given the witness to everybody. Look, it's not going to continue like before. But I want you to know God. Every time you open the scripture, ask questions. Lord, what are you saying here? He will open your eyes to see some things. I want you to pursue. I want you to pray like you breathe. Pray like you breathe. Pray like you breathe. I want you to live a fasted life if possible. When you wake up in the morning and you don't feel like eating, don't force yourself to eat. There is nowhere it is written, when it is morning, thou must eat breakfast. Don't force yourself, because at times it is the burden that is coming. God is placing a fasting burden, and many times we eat it away. You just eat it away, right? It's the fact that there is food doesn't mean it is time to eat. Right? And then you didn't feel like eating the breakfast, so you didn't eat the breakfast. And then you just turned it into prayer. Maybe about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the hunger returns. Lord, whatever it is, thank you because the intercession is over. Blessed be your name. And then you can proceed. Am I communicating at all? That is how to live. That's how I live. There is no specific time for food. And the force of fasting. And of course, the divine encounter comes by pursuing God. And then the force of sacrifice. I told you that about already. By the time the fast is rounding off, of course, I'll let you know about the sacrifice and then you make up your mind. And then, of course, the force of service. Don't be left out of serving in evangelism, in the home church, in being active in one department or the other. And then the force of excellence. Research, search and research. Those who do what you do, understudy them. Right? Where you are going, study it. Yeah. And then it's easy for Jehovah to lift you to the next level. It is your day. In a short while, we shall be receiving the communion as it is our first communion for the year, releasing the blessing of God upon it and receiving the blessing for the year and then set the year rolling. But before we do that, lift your hands and appreciate God for this moment. Appreciate him for what you have received. Honor him, adore him, magnify him. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. Father, we honor you. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. And thank you, Master. And thank you. And thank you. Thank him for his word. Thank you. Thank him for his word. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. In the name of Jesus. Lift your two hands everywhere you are, everybody, and say after me, say, Father, I come before you today to thank you for successful entry into 2020. Say, Father, I ask that you will draw me closer. All right, let's start from the back. Say, Father, I ask that you will baptize me with the spirit of excellence this year. In the name of Jesus, Father, give me the grace to serve you in 2020 like never before. In the name of Jesus, Father, give me a baptism of the spirit of sacrifice in 2020. In the name of Jesus, Father, encounter me. Give me life-changing encounters this year. In the name of Jesus, Father, I receive the grace to fast. I receive the grace to pray. In the name of Jesus, say, Father, open my eyes to see the wonders of your word, to see wonders out of the book. Father, in the name of Jesus, and say, Father, draw me closer to yourself. Help me to know you. Help me to know you like never before. Help me to know you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak to God right now. Help me to know you. 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 Help me to know you like I have never done before. Help me to know you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Master. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Master. Help me to know you. Help me to know you. Help me to know you. Help me to know you.
more than I have known before. Help me to know you. 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 Help me to know you more. More and more and more. In Jesus' precious name. Lift up your two hands. Father, we give you the praise. Let me use this first Sunday of the year to give a call to those who are in need of surrender to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want today to mark a new day for you. You will pray this prayer with me. Say it loud everywhere you are. All right, let me take it further. You want to make your way right with Jesus. You want to be delivered from addictions of smoking, drinking, womanizing, lying, cheating, duping. You want to return even back to God because you backslid. Pray this prayer with me, mean it from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I surrender my life to you. Jesus, have your way in my life. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Those who pray that prayer, pick your Bibles and your bags. Quickly come forward. And those that the counselors gave the slip to earlier on, that the woman of God, Dr. Miss Anenche, prayed for, also come forward, join us here. You can go ahead, choir, sing the song for us. Give the Lord a big clap as they come forward. I live for Jesus day after day. Don't be the last to come. Be the first to come. Be the first to come. And I'll give you the count of seven to be out here. One. Last to come, be the first. Four. Quickly, 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 quickly. I see the crowd of souls coming. Give the Lord a clap for them. Five. Six. And seven. Let me give it again. One. Jesus, I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Let's come what may. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus day after day. Let me give one more call. You want to be more serious with God, with your life. You are just in and out, in and out, in and out. People are not sure whether you are a Christian or you are an unbeliever because of the way you are living. Don't be ashamed. Do it publicly now. That woman stood there with her children to say she was a prostitute. And she gave her life to Christ and God changed her life. Don't be ashamed today. I'm living a life that is not correct. I know God is not happy with the way I am living. I want God to be happy with me. I want you to come forward right now. I'll give you another count of seven. It's a new year. Don't enter with old lives. Don't enter with your old life. Let it be a new year in every respect. In your character, in your mannerism, in your lifestyle. Ensure it is actually a new year. Run forward now with the count of seven. As you come with your Bibles and your bags. Everything you came with. One.
I live for Jesus.
Two.
Day after day.
Three.
I live for Jesus.
Let's four.
Go one day.
I live for Jesus day after day.
those of us standing in the crowd, please stretch your hands towards the people standing in the front. And those of us in the front, place your right hand on your chest as you pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Today, it is my decision to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever, backward never. Help to live for you, Lord. I receive it. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for every single one of you. I declare that the hold of the enemy be broken off your life. The grace to live for God is released upon you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Master, for hearing. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.